This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi there. Welcome to another episode of The Saturday Quiz. My name's John Leary, and on this podcast, I ask the 10 questions from the quiz in the Saturday paper, and a different pair of guests each week try to answer them. For the second week in a row, my guests are cast members from the final production of the year for one of the country's major theatre companies. This time, it's Belvoir's turn. The Master and Margarita opened just the other night to five-star reviews across the board. The Wild Bulgakov novel has been adapted and directed by Belvoir's artistic director, Eamon Flack, and stars an ensemble of some of the most creative actors in the country, two of whom join me today. Welcome to the show, Anna Sanson and Gareth Davies.
Hello.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Well, thank you for coming onto the show. Tell me, how is The Master and Margarita?
Wow, it's wonderful. It's huge. It's
yes.
Exhausting. It's
I'm sure.
Bonkers.
Wildly
it's
ambitious.
Bananas.
Very funny, hopefully. Hopefully highly okay. Entertaining.
Well, from all reports,
little bit of soul
it is
in there.
Absolutely entertaining.
The audience have been having a riot, and we're having a riot. Hopefully it's the same riot. Hopefully we're all in the same
Yeah,
same
I think
show.
So. But I do think that there's truth in that thing of like, you know, that thing of as long as we're having fun, they're having fun. Kind of.
Not always.
But I don't think that's true.
Not always.
I think no. As long as we've worked really goddamn hard and trying our very best, then they'll have fun. That's the objective.
I've definitely been in shows where I've had so much fun and the audience has had close to none. I've definitely been in shows like that before.
But this does not feel like one of those
not
shows.
Not at all.
This feels like the audiences are getting as much, if not more, out of it that as
yeah,
you guys.
It is a yeah. huge show, and I don't mean that in terms of long and dreary. I mean that in terms of wild ideas, constant surprise. Yeah, I think it's amazing.
Yeah, because I'm
full of admiration to everyone who's involved.
Yeah, yourself included.
Particularly
full of
myself.
Admiration towards himself.
Sorry, just myself. I should have said that.
Yeah, because it's hard to encapsulate the novel in, you know, just a little 1 minute kind of introduction to this podcast. So I'm not even going to attempt it because it's huge, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It defies category and definition, the novel. I think that's why it's a classic, because it contains so much and constant revelations. And that's aside from the fact that there's kind of three main narratives woven together. Aside from that, it's constantly delving deeper into itself and expanding and exploding out of itself. So it's almost impossible to do a sound bite about The Master
yeah.
and Margarita.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try
Absolutely.
Right now. So
okay,
yeah,
go.
Well, I think you're right. There's three main narratives. Number one, the devil comes to Moscow to test the residents there. Number two, it's quite a beautiful and touching love story about a man writing a novel and a woman leaving her husband and their subsequent finding each other and breaking apart. And three, Pontius Pilate and Jesus Christ have a conversation.
Have a chat.
That third one kind of comes at quite an obtuse angle.
Yeah, but it's kind of,
it,
to be honest, it's really compelling. It's kind of amazing because I didn't realize how compelling it would be. The stakes are so weird, and it is such an interesting, weird scene and scenes about kind of almost like a simpleton and politician, and making it real and not biblical is really compelling. Genuinely compelling. Mm, I'm not
wow.
just saying that because I'm on a podcast, but genuinely, I'm like, wow, I've not, again, that story I know so well, Not that I'm particularly religious, but I've never seen it played out in the way that it plays out in the book. And the,
yeah,
the
right.
And it is a beautifully grounded scene in what is mayhem and magic and dancing and music. Those scenes are particularly beautifully simple and also in togas, which is always fun.
Because you know you're just a tiny little piece of fabric away.
Yeah, you're a safety pin away. You're a safety pin away from nudity too early in the show.
Fabulous. My goodness. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for encapsulating the entirety of Bulgakov's novel, The Master and Margarita, Gareth. That was brilliant.
Easy. I think one of the things that I really love about it is it's wildly ambitious, but included in that ambition isn't just concepts or stories or ideas. It's also just entertainment, which sometimes can be lost a little bit. The ambition is to be as full and brimming with life and ideas as possible, and hopefully not to get lost in the heavy concepts of it all.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
The response
really cool.
that I'm most thrilled about, not that I always trust reviews unless they're good and then they're gospel, but the word joyous keeps coming up. People keep saying it's joyous, and I think that's fantastic and very, very true of the experience of doing it and doing it with an audience who are having
excellent
a joyful time with us, which is maybe has been missing in the world a little bit lately, a bit of joy.
Yeah. Yeah, the world could do with a lot of joy
exactly.
right now. Okay, on this podcast, I ask my guests if they have a favourite piece of trivia. Do either of you have a favourite piece of trivia?
I learned very recently that wasps have facial recognition. They can remember people.
Really?
Apparently, really. Yeah.
Wow. So they can remember people.
Yeah, they
can. Not other wasps.
No. Human beings and landmarks.
Yeah, wow.
I'm not sure how true this is, but they say they got on a train, they flew onto a train, and they went a few stops. They could look out the window at the landmarks, fly off and get back to where they hopped
on. And know
on.
Where they are.
Yeah.
So how do they know about the wasps' facial recognition?
I'm not sure, but you know when you're in the park having a lovely picnic with your loved ones or whatever, and there might be a wasp that you feel like is personally just bothering you. Maybe it is personal. They think you're a piece of shit.
Maybe. That's brilliant. Thank you. All right. What about you, Gareth?
This isn't so much a trivia, but I just find this interesting, talking about faces.
Yes.
That scientists discovered on an individual the specific neurological pattern, so the specific patterns of neurons lighting up and firing, to recognise Jennifer Aniston.
What?
So on an individual, they knew precisely when they were thinking about Jennifer Aniston.
What?
Due to...
on one particular person or...
Yeah. They discovered the pattern of firing of particular neurons that would only happen when they were thinking about Jennifer Aniston's face.
That is incredible. I don't know what they were hoping to do with that information or that discovery, but...
But that's only the beginning, because you start there and then you go to David Schwimmer and then you go to Courtney Cox. So, R.I.P. of course. So it's only the beginning of recognising beloved sitcom stars. I think we need a lot more research to really buckle down and timeline.
I think we do. And we don't have time for that because we have to get into the quiz. So... here comes the quiz. Question number one. Where in Australia did Donald Campbell break the world land speed record in July 1964?
Surely Bonnie Doon.
Bonnie Doon? No.
I'm not entirely sure I understand the question.
So there was a person called Donald Campbell, and in 1964, he drove a car... and it was, at the time, the fastest vehicle in the world.
I thought Bonnie Doon was a real place, that there's like a salt flat that they race cars in. Might not be true.
You are correct. It is a salt flat.
Like, are we looking for a state? Are we looking like South Australia?
No, we're looking for... It is South Australia. Very well done.
Thank
but
you.
That's not the answer.
Great.
You need to be more specific than
okay.
that.
Okay.
You're thinking, I think, Gareth Davies, of Bonneville, which is in Utah,
no,
in the United States.
Remember there
no?
was Remember the movie The Castle?
Yes.
Don't they go to Bonnie Doon?
Do they? Yes, but it's not the answer, is what I'm going to say.
Okay, so South Australia. Oh, the salt flats there. The salt flats there.
Yeah, the salt flats. So where is that?
I don't know.
What is that called?
South Australia,
I'm thinking I'm going Cactus Beach and working upwards.
Okay, let me tell you this. Salt flats are nowhere near the beach.
Okay, this is helpful.
So salt flats are caused by inland lakes drying up.
So and somewhere in the Simpson
remaining
desert.
Salt staying there. Up there, yeah, up that way. You would have heard of this place. Certainly you would have heard what it was called in 1964. It has now, since 2012, it has been officially renamed to incorporate its traditional name.
Okay.
But you would have known this place. It's a lake.
Okay. Lake Eyre.
Lake Eyre is the correct answer. Very well done.
Yeah, Gareth.
God. So, yeah, Lake Eyre in 1964 was known as Lake Eyre, but it's been officially renamed Cutitunda.
Lake Eyre.
And was it named?
Cutitunda.
Was it named Lake Eyre because it's not actually a lake, it's just air where lake...
It's air.
It's
not spelled...
It is named Lake Eyre after the first European to see the lake.
Mr. Eyre,
but it's spelt E-Y-R-E.
Eyre.
But get this. So Donald Campbell was an English guy. He was actually following in his father's footsteps in breaking speed records on land and water, and he remains the only person to set both world land and water speed records in the same year, which was 1964.
Was it in the same vehicle?
Not the same vehicle. That would be truly impressive.
It'd be chitty chitty bang bang.
The location, so Lake Eyre, was selected since it offered salt flats with a longer possible track than was available in Bonneville, Utah, USA. And at the time, it hadn't rained there in almost a decade. Unfortunately for Donald Campbell, once they were all set to go, the rain did eventually come and they had to delay things another year. And he posted the new land speed record of, have a guess how fast he went.
480 kilometres an hour.
480 kilometres higher.
What? No. I thought Gareth was being outrageous.
But he's not.
450? 500, 700.
Keep going. Not quite 700. So he posted a new land speed record of 403 miles per hour, which translates to be 648.73 kilometres per hour.
What?
With a top speed peaking as he left the measured distance. So this doesn't actually get counted. But his top speed was 710 kilometres per hour, making him the fastest person in a wheel-driven vehicle ever. Because thereafter, rocket and jet-propelled cars took over as the fastest vehicles.
Wow. Can I tell you something fun? You know the Paris to Dakar, the famous race? I was in West Africa. I was outside of Dakar and I went sand dune racing where they start that race.
Oh, amazing.
But I didn't know it was going to happen. I was on this tour and I don't speak the language. I don't speak Wolof and I don't speak French because it's a French-speaking country. And so they were just getting me from my normal van to another vehicle that looked a bit like souped up. And I was like, this is a bit exciting. And they were speaking in French to me and I just nodded and just went with it. And before I knew it, we were. And then I was sand dune racing before I knew it. And it was one of the scariest. There was no seatbelt. There was barely a roof. It was barely a car.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And it was so fun and so insanely scary. So, yeah, I've been sand dune racing, which I think makes me sound much cooler than I am.
Yeah. Well, it makes you sound cool. I don't know if it makes you sound cooler than you are, but, yeah.
I think definitely.
Brilliant.
Yeah, anyway.
All right. Very well done. Question number two. What links the surnames Kiefel, Gagala, Gordon, Edelman, Stewart, Gleason, and Jago? Or Jago.
Oh, do they mean Lord or something? Or Castellan? No. Like a Stewart or a Jago? Isn't that a...
Oh, yeah, I see where you're going with that. No, these are all surnames of people in Australia right now.
Can you say those one more time?
Yes. Kiefel.
Russell
Kiefel. Gagler. Gordon. Edelman. Stewart. Gleason. And Jago.
Are we in the world of politics? Is that where we are?
Nearly, but not quite. And famously, not actual politics. So separation of politics and...
Religion.
Not religion. Go the other way.
State.
State is politics. corporate?
Not corporate. It is kind of government, or it's governing.
Oh, the judiciary bodies or something like that.
Yeah, it is the judiciary.
So those are the High Court judges?
Very well done.
Yay! Yeah.
They are all the current justices of the High Court of Australia. Yeah,
cool.
Very well done.
I will give them a ring when I get in trouble.
I thought you were going to say, I'll give them my best.
next time you're in front of the High Court?
Yeah, I'll
well, though, give can them I just best. Say... You were in a quiz question of mine. Anyway, not guilty.
Did either of you work with the actor Russell Kiefel?
Never.
No.
Ah, oh, that's a shame. I did, and he he's passed away now. But it's his sister, Susan Mary Kiefel.
There you go.
Who was appointed Chief Justice of the High Court Australia in 2017. All right, question number three. ChatGPT stands for chat what? And there's, well, I'm actually only after the G. That's the part of the question. But if you can you tell me what the P and the T stand for?
I was literally just about to scream out AI in panic.
Well, that's what it is. Well,
the G.
So it's a general language model. It's a language model. So would it be general?
It's not general, but...
Generative? Generative?
Generative.
Very good. Generative is the generative is the G.
Proprietary technology? I'm not sure. What does the PT mean?
Oh, no, that's good. No, it is generative pre-trained transformer.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah. ChatGPT is chat generative pre-trained transformer. What can you tell me about ChatGPT?
What would you like to know?
Are you a chatbot, Gareth?
I am not. No, I have asked it various questions and asked it to do various things. I have asked it to write plays in the style of Tennessee Williams about the people in my immediate vicinity. Do things like that, write it to ask scripts.
And how did it deliver?
I have read worse. I've heard much worse.
That's incredible.
It's amazing. It's outrageous. Right now, we could say, please write a farce about a podcast quiz session, and then it would come up with something that would be bad, but there's some real
but possible.
My concern with chat in terms of the creative industries and ChatGPT isn't that the best of it will ever be better than the best of humanity. It's just whether companies who fund this sort of creative industries will do cost-benefit analysis and go, we could just not get writers and have 10% less good stuff coming out. That's the concern. It's whether the companies that fund this stuff will continue to pay for humans or whether they'll accept worse output. The thing, I guess, I feel like it will always be the middle because it will always be mediocre, kind of almost by intention, right? That as it's fed all this information, it tries to, with a degree of randomness, settle for the kind of middle band.
Almost by definition. It does the bell curve, right?
Exactly.
So it won't ever be absolutely terrible and shocking and bad, but it won't ever, maybe... be incredible
or
and
transcendent in any way.
Transcendent,
But also just that thing.
Speaking of art.
No. One more rant. Also, because just the thing that, like, keep going. Don't worry about it. I've lost my train of thought.
Lost confidence. You lost confidence in your banter.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of art, Question number four. Which city is home to the Smithsonian American Art Museum?
New York. Oh, actually, is that Washington? Washington, D.C.
It is Washington. It is Washington, D.C. Very well done.
The longer we are here, the more I realize I am here for moral support and gender equality.
No, I have to say, Anna.
Well done, Gareth.
This, the other times that I've been on this, I knew not a one. I was just quietly patting myself on the back going, Gareth, you've done a couple now. Well done.
That's amazing.
And going, wow, that means I don't have to do answer anymore because I knew the answer.
Yeah, you can take a break now.
Yeah, see you later. Have fun.
Well, maybe you can take care of these first five and Anna the second five.
I'll take the reins from there for sure. Just watch it fall apart.
We'll see. Here we go. Question number five.
Please don't be sport. Please don't be sport. Please don't be sport.
It's not sport. What is removed during a cholecystectomy?
Anna, that's you. This is...
Ah, finally, one for me. I don't know.
This is a multiple choice, but if you want to have a guess before I give you the options.
I'm not just going to say colon. I'm not going to do it.
It's not colon, so it's cholecystectomy. So cholecystectomy.
You lost me at CH, but go on.
Cholecystectomy.
Okay.
What do you
want to have a go?
What's it when you have your thyroid removed? What's that?
Sure.
No.
What could be cholecystectomy? What options maybe?
Okay, here are the options. The options are A, the appendix, B, the thyroid gland, or C, the gallbladder.
My instinct was thyroid.
Do it.
Only because of where it is and the idea of
then it's collar.
I know that's not the spelling.
Then it's completely different spelling.
I know.
I like it though.
But I don't think it is because I think Johnny would have told us by now.
He would have jumped in. He would have jumped in.
Well, good work. Try to keep things
moving around, along.
So we've got...
When you said thyroid and I didn't say, you're correct, and you got it without hearing
the options. And I kept pushing for thyroid like a maniac.
It's not thyroid. So we're down to two.
It's not thyroid.
Which were appendix
and... removal of the thyroid is called a thyroidectomy.
Oh, okay.
So then it's a removal of the colon.
Yes. Which is otherwise known as...
You say one, I'll say the other. The appendix.
The other one you said.
It is the other one I said.
Yay, Gareth!
The gallbladder.
The gallbladder.
The gallbladder.
So actually, the removal of the appendix, you could have worked that out.
Yeah, but it would have required a certain strategic mind that Anna and I both lack.
How could you figure that out?
You could have... Well, you could have known Greek and known that the word...
Greek or Latin?
Cola. No, Greek. The word cola refers to bile, and the word cyst from Greek refers to bladder.
Well, so hearing you talk like this, my cola is certainly rising.
Nice.
Yeah, or we could have gone to medical school.
So that's where we get the word choleric.
Ah, right, okay. We could have worked it out because I feel like if it was appendix, we would have been more familiar with it, maybe.
Yes, because it's a more common operation, perhaps.
And that is an appendectomy.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, those two are much easier.
Do you know anything about the gallbladder? Do you know what it does?
Presumably it filters something out.
That's a good guess. But it's a small organ under your liver. And you can actually lead a perfectly normal life without a gallbladder, and your liver will still make enough bile. So the gallbladder makes bile,
right?
And you use bile in your digestive system.
If I have to hear you say the word bile one more time, I'm going to throw up. That's too many times to hear the word bile.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, it is bye. In fact, it's bye for just a short time because we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Saturday Quiz. I'm joined today by Anna Sampson and Gareth Davies. And
hello.
We are to question number six. Thanks for coming back, guys.
I thought about leaving.
I know you did. What, starting with F, is a variety of pasta formed into helical or corkscrew shapes?
Fusilli.
You both got it.
I almost did. I said a series of sounds in the shape of that idea.
A helical shape?
Yes.
I like that you described it as helical.
What? How would you pronounce that?
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't try?
I'd just probably do that with my fingers.
Spirally.
Yeah.
Do you guys know how, what do you know about fusilli?
A lot.
It's delicious. All right.
Originally in 1467, it was designed by a certain clergyman. No, not very much.
Do you know, the one thing I know about fusilli is the New Yorker cartoon by Charles Bassotti. Do you know that one?
Oh, no. Yeah. Is it the two little pasta pieces?
No, it's one little pasta piece. It's a picture of a piece of, I think it's rigatoni, and he's on the phone, and he's obviously talking to his friend, and he's saying, "Fusilli, you crazy bastard. How are you?" It's just, I love it. It's on our fridge.
That's so sweet.
Just love that he calls him a crazy bastard, because of all the pasta shapes.
Because he's all crazy and spirally.
Fusilli is, very well done.
Question, and it would be good, the sequel should have the little bow tie guy walking past briskly.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
What's like the little bow tie guy
he's
called?
He's a smart businessman.
Oh,
man,
come on. Obviously. We already answered it right. Don't make us a good one.
That is also, it starts with F, and it's the Italian word for butterfly.
Farfalle.
Farfalle.
Yeah. Farfalle. Question number 7. Which Australian called stumps on their international career this month after 13 years, 241 games, 182 as captain, 7 World Cup titles and a Commonwealth Games gold medal?
My sports knowledge is dire. So I'm just going to look blankly at Gareth.
Okay.
I'm going Gareth? To receive that blank stare and pass it on to Johnny.
Okay, I'm gonna narrow things down for you a little bit, and
it won't
say
help
that
it won't
well,
help
just
at
a
all.
Little bit. Say that she holds the record for the most women's one-day international centuries, and is the first Australian to score 2,000 2020 international runs.
Wow.
Still hasn't helped any.
I know nothing. I know that there was the guy. Who was that guy? It's His name was Michael. I know that there's the only cricketer I know is Donald Bradman, and then there was a guy called Michael something.
Cricket. We're talking about cricket. I feel closer now.
Oh, did you really not know?
No. That it was I guessed as much by the the terminology used, but I wasn't 100%. If I'm honest.
And it definitely wasn't Donald Bradman or Michael something.
This is embarrassing.
ML are her initials.
ML.
ML. Yes.
Michaela Long.
Oh, I love the just putting together names.
Oh, that's not a real person.
Who were you on this podcast on with last time?
Oh, we're talking about Megan.
Yes. And what is a shortened form of that name?
Meg.
Meg.
Meg is her first name, correct?
Yes.
And how on earth am I going to get you to say...
Lambeth, Lithgow, Longman.
Sorry, I'm sure this will be good. I'm just going to grab a book of last names and I'll start at the top of L.
Work our way alphabetically through them.
I'm just going to have to tell you, her name is Meg Lanning. Meg Lanning.
I feel terrible. I don't know. I feel terrible that I don't know who that is. I'm sure she's remarkable.
The former captain of the Australian women's team. Very poorly done, I'm afraid.
Well, I got to say, I will keep my eyes open the next time I turn on the cricket, which hopefully won't be for another 70 years.
Question number 8. True or false? Nice easy one for you, 50-50.
Thank goodness.
An AA battery or AA battery and an AAA battery or AAA battery carry about the same nominal voltage. True or false?
Nominal voltage.
Nominal voltage? Is that the same as output? Like, energy output, or is it?
That is a very good question, because I had to learn what nominal voltage means.
What does it tell us?
So let me tell you this. A battery's nominal voltage is the average voltage it outputs when fully charged. So the actual voltage can be higher than the nominal voltage labeled on the battery, and the actual voltage lowers as the battery discharges.
Right, okay.
I think counterintuitively, it's what I was going to say true. I was going to say true just because it feels wrong. Do you know what I mean?
You're going to say true because it feels wrong.
Yeah.
And it is, in fact, correct. It is right.
See?
It is true.
If it feels wrong, go for it.
AA and AAA batteries have the same nominal voltage.
So, which is the same average output when fully charged. Of course, that makes sense.
Yes. Question number 9. What word is both a shade of green and a type of pool game?
Type of
what
game?
So not pool as in swimming game, as swimming. Oh. Pool as in like billiards.
Jade, emerald, lime.
Vermilion. Oh, or is that red?
No. Is it vermilion red?
Yeah.
It's a very nice sounding word though. Is it a common, would your average Saturday
average
morning
Joe.
Quiz reader slash listener know this pool as a pool game?
I think you would be sitting there, if you're reading the paper, you're sitting there going, pool game? Marco Polo? Is that what we're talking about? And it would take a little while for you to go, oh, I see. It's
snooker,
you know, a table game, like snooker kind of thing. And then you have to make another leap because it's not a common...
It's not a common green.
It is a common green, but I don't know if people are that aware of it as the name of the green. I'll tell you, the shade of green is the most prevalent St. Patrick's Day Irish green. So I'll give you another clue. It is the surname, an Irish surname, is the word that we're looking for.
Kilpatrick.
So it's something green, and it starts with K.
Oh.
Kilpatrick.
Kilkenny Green?
No, you've got too many syllables. It's an Irish surname, but it's also a common first name of girls that I went to primary school with.
Oh, okay, I get it. Sorry. Let me just look through the yearbooks that I've got of your primary school years. Okay, here we go. And it's Kevin. Kevin.
Not Kevin.
Okay. So a common... What is this? Why can't we get this? So it's a common girl's name, Irish girl's name.
Well, no, it's a common Irish surname.
But it's also a girl's name.
But it became a popular girl's name in Australia in the, you know, late 70s, early 80s.
My brain is so far away from the question. I'm going through women I know around our age. That's what I'm doing, forgetting about green and pool and everything.
No, I'm trying to think of a single girl's name that begins with the letter K, and I'm coming up short.
You're even further away.
Keela. No, that's not a name. Keisha.
Kaloran.
Kesha.
Is Kaloran
like
a name?
Star.
It is.
No.
It's not Keisha. It's not
Kaloran. Oh, my God. You're honestly going to kill yourselves.
Oh, no. I don't want to do that today. I don't want to kill myself today.
Don't kill yourself.
I can't think of a single girl's name that begins with K. I'm pretty sure there aren't any.
What about there is an American singer, songwriter, television personality on like...
Kesha.
Kelly.
Kelly Green. Got talent or like...
Kelly.
What'd you say? Kelly.
Did we get it?
Kelly is the right answer.
Oh, Gareth.
Okay.
So Kelly Green is the green that is essentially, you know, the St. Patrick's Day green.
Yes.
And Kelly Pool, have you heard of Kelly Pool?
No.
No.
So,
yeah, it rings a bell.
Kelly Pool is a snooker game where there's a bottle with little numbered tiles in it that correspond to balls on the table. And each player shakes out one of the little things.
Yes. And you got to get that one.
And you've got to sync that.
And the great advantage is you can do it with a number. It doesn't just have to be two players. It can be any number
exactly.
of players.
Exactly. The great advantage of Kelly Pool is that you can play it with up to 16 players.
Can you play it with one person?
Well,
can you play solo?
You can. Sure. You poor thing. It goes very well with a microwave meal for one.
All right, we are up to the final question. Oh. Question number 10. It's a maths question.
Oh, for the, here we for go. The love of.
How many times does 5 go into 555?
Well, wouldn't you just double it?
It feels like we should know this. Double it.
Wouldn't you just double it? Is that a
double,
thing?
Double what?
The number.
Wouldn't you just do 100 plus 10 plus 1?
5.
No.
No, that doesn't make sense. Half it, I mean. No. Divide by 5. Don't you just divide by 5?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay,
555 divided by 5.
Okay, go for it, Anna.
Is?
555 divided by 5 is?
You just do that. It's as simple as that. Well, that must be 111 or something.
111 is the right answer.
Woo!
And Anna, you were right. You said 110 and 1.
Yes, and then I lost confidence and started to gabble.
But you were 100% correct.
Oh, thank you.
111% correct.
Ah,
well done.
Nice. My dad would be immensely proud that I got anywhere close to the maths answer on this quiz.
Yes. Jeez.
Yes, he's a very good mathematician. And I am an actor.
You are an actor. You're both actors. You're both currently, you can both be currently seen in The Master and Margarita, which is running on from right now until the 10th of December. 8 shows a week, six nights a week, 8 shows. It's a magic mayhem and a book that can't be burnt.
Yeah, come and let us tell you a story.
Well done on the quiz. Thank you both so much for doing it. I hope you had a good time. I certainly did.
Thank you very much, Johnny.
I really did. Thank you so much for having us.
My absolute pleasure.
And to both of you who have lasted to the end, thanks for listening.
There we go. Another episode of the quiz done and dusted. Thank you to my guests this week, Anna Sampson and Gareth Davies. If you are in Sydney, I highly recommend you get your tickets to The Master and Margarita at Belvoir Street Theatre immediately, because this show will sell out. It's on right now until December 10. Go to belvoir.com.au. Thank you, as always, to Cindy McDonald for writing such a great bunch of questions. This episode was recorded in Naam, on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. I acknowledge their traditions of sharing stories and knowledge for millennia on this land, and pay my respects to their elders past and present. My name's John Leary, and I'll have more questions for you same time next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.